Loving God, thank you so much for this time to just be reminded of your magnificence, that we come as your people to lift our hearts, lift our praise, to magnify you. Lord, your love magnifies us, and we recognize that. We're so grateful to be your children. And so, Lord, today as we open your word, we pray that you inspire us. We ask for help in discerning instruction from your word to apply to our lives. Lord, strengthen us by your spirit. Give us encouragement and make us a blessing, Lord, to the people in our lives who are struggling. So we pray that you would bless us to be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. So as I've said many times recently, I've do a lot more funerals than I do weddings. And yesterday was one of those days where I got to do a wedding. And as Lee, But I tell you, as we were walking up to this beautiful venue called Padua Hills Theater up at the foot of Mount Baldy, I told Lisa, I said, I'm really nervous. You know, why? Well, I don't know, but I'm nervous, and I was, and it was the bride was a band member with the girls when they were at the high school, so 10 years ago, and the father of the bride is formerly the mayor of Murrieta, most recently the mayor. So anyway, there was a few things to be nervous about, but I loved how it went, and God is good. He heard my cry out for him. He heard, oh Lord, I don't know about this, and yet here's a funny thing that happened at the reception. We were sitting there, and another couple came and sat down, and the gentleman said, he says, I hope you don't take offense by this, but do you do this professionally? I said, well, I've done quite a few. He said, well, he goes, you don't seem like a pastor to me. And I said, thank you. And he said, he goes, well, I'm glad you took it that way, because he says, I know a lot of pastors, and I like them, but you don't seem like one. Okay, so mission accomplished there, I said. But here's the thing. I've always known that my relationship with Jesus is the most important thing, and that coming across human and in love with the Lord is more important than coming across religious. Okay, and I think that's what he was getting at. I don't know for sure, but I'm going to take it that way. So for the past couple of weeks in Philippians, this letter that Paul's written to the church in Philippi, he's lifted up Christ as the model, the example to follow. And we looked at Christ-likeness last week. He is the Christian's model, the call to Christ-likeness, as we saw it last week. Today we'll draw from Paul's letter three model Christians. One is himself that will be inferred in what we read, but he also the two men who are serving with him, Timothy and Epaphroditus. So let's have a look. We're in Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 through 30. Paul writes, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad, and I may have less anxiety. Welcome him in the Lord with great joy, and honor men like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help you could not give me. Or maybe better stated, to complete your service to me. That's another translation. But anyway, so this is interesting. And we'll start with Paul, a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. So a portrait that's inferred from the whole passage. Paul is an example to us in the ordering of his life. He was content with trusting the Lord with his whole life. Whether he would die in prison, which was always a possibility in a Roman prison, he could have died for several reasons. One is that they decided, time's up, you know, you're going to be executed today. Or that if I understand correctly, the way the prisoners were fed was from outside support that they received. And so Philippi had sent Epaphroditus to do that, to take care of Paul's needs. As, you know, someone from their church was in prison, whether it was in Rome or Ephesus, I don't know where, but Epaphroditus was sent to take care of Paul's needs. So he could die if no one's taking care of his needs. You know, they don't get three squares and a bed in those prisons. Or they didn't. I don't know what they do today. But anyway, in that day, he could have died for many reasons. Or to live to visit them again, which is what he preferred and thought was going to happen. So with regard to Timothy, he hoped in the Lord Jesus for God to work in Timothy. In regard to himself, he trusted the Lord Jesus. So isn't that interesting that towards others, he was hopeful and had hope for them. Towards himself, it was all about trust. It was all about, you know what? The Lord's going to take care of this. And really, that's a really good example for us. To, as we think of others, think of them with hope. You know, God's going to handle this. As we think of ourselves, we think more, you know what, Lord? I'm trusting you. I'm totally trusting you. I'm going to leave the outcome to you. So even in that, Paul had a sense of putting others before himself. And I think that's important. He also is an example in obeying the Lord's will. Paul took his slavery seriously. Think about that. He considered himself a servant of the Lord. Slave terms. He submitted himself to the Lord for service. And he submitted himself to the mission of the gospel for the sake of others. He knew that his mission was to spread the gospel in the Gentile world. And he was obedient to the Lord's will for him. Upward, he was obedient to Jesus. Outward, he was obedient to the call of the gospel on his life to share with others. And so we can learn from that. Jesus set that example himself in the Garden of Gethsemane when he prayed, "Not my will, but yours be done." And I think Paul had the same sense of obedience to the Lord's will. And in giving of himself for others, evidenced by his sending Timothy. So again, Paul is in prison. His daily needs are not just provided. They're met by others. Timothy was part of that group who was meeting his needs. So if he didn't get that outside support, he didn't eat. And that was just the way it was. So he considered other needs over his own by sending his best disciple, really, to them. He had trained up Timothy from the beginning. And so Paul's example is really a lot like Jesus, of giving himself for the benefit of us. Let's look at Timothy, the preeminent man. You just reread these opening verses. He says, "I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel." So, he cares for other Christians. Timothy has care for other Christians. Paul says, "I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare," to the people that he's writing to. So Timothy's Paul's son in the faith, right? We read in his letter to Timothy towards the end of his life that, you know, he's reminding him of this important call on his life. He's reminding him of the gifts that he's been given through the laying on of hands and the Holy Spirit that is guiding him. But that all came as a result of Paul pouring into Timothy from himself. So he was basically Paul's son in the faith. Yes, his apprentice, if you will. It was a real father-son relationship. Paul is giving Timothy to the church in Philippi. He's sending him to them. When I was ordained, one of my fondest memories was being called a Timothy of Crossroads Church that ordained me. And I knew from my own just recent Bible college studies that Timothy was a servant, was an apprentice of the Apostle Paul, if you will. And that title was important for that primary reason, that he cared for other Christians. And I hope that continues to mark my life for the rest of my life, that I care for my brothers and sisters in Christ. His devotion to the Lord Jesus. Unlike others who looked out first for themselves, then to the Lord, Timothy truly honored Jesus as the Lord. That word means maximum authority. There's no higher authority than Jesus. And Timothy got that. Paul got that. They lived with the Lord Jesus as their primary devotion, their sole devotion, if you will. And from that came their service to the rest of the world. This devotion was shown by his willingness to do what he was ordered to do. And that was, you know, here he is, a young man. His boss, if you will, is in prison. And yet, whatever Paul said, Timothy would do it. His devotion was to serve the Lord. And his mentor was Paul. And so Paul was sending him to the Philippians. His devotion to Jesus is remarkable. His acceptance of second place. This is something, too, that I find interesting and helpful. Paul writes, as a son with his father. Timothy did not worry himself with the idea of usurping his mentor. Okay? It was okay for him to not be the apostle. Paul was the apostle. Timothy was a servant. Was Paul's apprentice, yes. His son, yes. Son in the faith, yes. But he did not see climbing the corporate ladder, if you will, as something that was important. That, to me, is really an important quality as a Christian leader to have. That we're not climbing up. If anything, we are working our way down to be the least. And what I mean by that is what Jesus said, if you want to be a leader, you will become a servant of all. And so I look at Christian leadership as digging as deep as I can dig to serve as faithfully as I can. And we need to look at that as that's God's way of life. That's his way of, it isn't, you know, stepping on others to get to this position that we long for. Well, I don't think that comes naturally. I happened to hear from a candidate yesterday that one of the people running against him was too young to run for this position. In the world we live in, it's absolutely upside down from this teaching that we, as Christians, that we get from the scriptures, that we are called to be a servant to others. And Timothy got that, and he accepted that second place. He knew he was called to be a leader in the church. There was no question. And he exercised that leadership even as a young man. But he understood that his mission was not to climb the ladder, but just to be obedient to the Lord. Does that make sense? Let's look at Epaphroditus, Paul's brother in Christ. We look at a relationship of true emotion. Epaphroditus spent himself in devotion to the task he'd been sent to accomplish. And he got deathly ill in the process. Paul's deep connection to this fellow worker and fellow soldier, as he called him, he considered his healing a gift to himself as well as a gift to Epaphroditus. Being spared the sorrow, the deep emotional loss that Epaphroditus' death would have brought him. So he must have been pretty close to death, but been very ill. But Paul recognized that had he died, it would have been very difficult. I do bereavement groups weekly, typically two a week. Grief is hard work, as you know. It's difficult. There isn't a time frame set on grief. It just is a difficult journey. Yes, we learn to live with loss, but we have to learn to live with loss. Paul recognized that when he's writing this letter, that, wow, I was spared a great sorrow. I was spared sorrow upon sorrow. I guess take from this that we connect deeply with one another. And that has a cost to it. It's an emotional cost. But it's worth the cost. And that's the idea that I think I want to draw from Epaphroditus, that Paul is saying, I'm sending him back to you, but I love this brother. He has been so valuable. In fact, you need to honor him because he near gave his life for the work that you sent him to do. I mean, that's powerful. It's a relationship of perfect brotherhood. Christian brotherhood recognizes the deep call on our lives to leave it all on the field, if you will, to serve our Lord Jesus. If you were to consider Christianity a team sport, Paul recognized Epaphroditus as a fellow team player. And he compliments him in this letter to the people that he's sending him back to. Our brother in the Lord gave it all. Honor him. Respect the work that he's done. From the tone of Paul's writing, we could sense that Epaphroditus was torn up thinking that they were worried to death about him. So here, what we're seeing here is this great concern for others over-concerned for ourselves. And I think just as Christian leadership isn't climbing up and usurping others, so Christian fellowship is more about others than ourselves. And that really is a great reflection that Paul saw in Epaphroditus and brings up to us. And a relationship of cooperation in the work. Paul commends him back to the church and recommends they honor men like Epaphroditus. He obediently went to Paul, almost died in the work he was sent to do, and Paul saw the concern Epaphroditus had for his brothers and sisters in the church. And so he sent him back to Philippi. There was mutual love and respect here. And that's to be noted. Mutual love and respect. And that's what we need to be known as. More than anything else, I hope the people in this whole complex recognize me when I come here and you who live here and us who come in on Sunday, that we are a people of love and respect for one another. There's not a bunch of biting little stupid stuff going on. Sorry, I said the stupid word. But no, we are a people of love for one another and respect for one another. That's the star that shines in the darkness. And I know from what I've observed, and I know from what I witness when I come in here Sunday after Sunday, that you shine like stars in dark places. And so you are succeeding in the mission. I love that. Let's keep at the work. So what? Well, let's look at the three. And be trusting like Paul. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path.
Amen.
He'll smooth the way before you. Paul kept trusting the Lord while in prison, knowing that at any time he could be executed. But he kept working, writing letters instead of worrying about his own life. The value of these letters that Paul wrote from prison, that here we are today learning valuable life lessons as followers of Jesus because Paul didn't have a pity party in prison. He didn't think, oh, dang, this isn't how I expected it to go.
It's not fair.
It's not fair. I'm hungry. Where is Timothy? I'm cold. No, he kept writing. Yes, he let his needs be known. And yes, his needs were met, as far as we know. But he learned to be content. We'll find out later in this letter that Paul was a person who learned to be content in whatever he had. And so to be trusting like Paul, to trust the Lord with all our heart, to recognize that God is trustworthy. We can trust Him with everything and anything that we face in life. That He's sovereign. That there's no one above Him. So when I am nervous about doing a wedding, I can breathe a prayer that says, Lord, help me. Help me to accomplish what needs to be accomplished here. You know better than I do who needs to hear what. So please, Lord, I submit myself to you. Yes. Yes, no matter what it is. We need to remind each other of that. To be trusting like the Apostle Paul. To be humble like Timothy. Being a Christian is not a climb up an organizational ladder. Rather, it's a devotion to Jesus marked by serving as a slave. Usurping others on the way to the top is not the humble way that Timothy's example is modeled for us. Timothy is an example of one who faithfully served in the second spot. I love that. I think that's a great reminder in our, you know, again, we'll trust the Lord. If He calls you to be the next president of the U.S., you better get campaigning. But our trust in the Lord is that He called you to where you are right now and trusts us to serve Him where we are right now. So no matter where we are, no matter what our journey is, we can be humble like Timothy and say, you know what, Lord, thank you. Thank you that I have this place in life and that there are people right around me who need me to be faithful to you. Right? We're ambassadors for Christ in this place. Not in a political sense, because then you'd think, oh, well, to be an ambassador, I have to climb the ladder. No, get that out of your mind. It's not a climb up. It's a humble trusting in the Lord. And then to be brotherly like Epaphroditus. I love the image of leaving it all on the field. And Epaphroditus, how he left everything on the field in service to Paul. He was sent specifically to take care of Paul's needs. Apparently, they knew that he had been imprisoned and his needs would need to be met. And so he was sent for that. The Philippian church sent him to either Rome or Ephesus, wherever Paul was. And that's what he was sent to do. So I guess to make that practical, we need to look around us, to look at each other, and to say, Lord, what do you want me to do in service to the people in my life? How will you use me to bless others? How do you want me to encourage the brothers and sisters in Christ that are around me? Recognize God's call on our lives to love one another, to show respect for one another, to serve one another. And really, to allow Him to shine in and through us to bless the people around us. That really, I think, is the heart of Paul's letter. You know, we're calling this whole series Jesus Our Joy. And taking from it that, you know, if we look like pastors, we might not be accomplishing the mission. So allow the joy of the Lord to lead you and guide you, to fill you and to ooze through you, if that makes any sense. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. God, thank you for your word and thank you for Paul and his making good use of his time in whatever prison he was in. That he wrote these letters that have encouraged us today. Thank you so much for that. Lord, I thank you that Timothy and Epaphroditus were used to set a good example. We can learn from their Christian life, from the things that they did, from the observations that Paul had made of them. Thank you for that. Lord, help us to draw from these models, to live faithfully in you, to trust you with all our heart, to be humble about our place in this life, recognize that you are our God. And Lord, to be brotherly, to love one another, to really treat each other as family. So thank you for all that. Lord, thank you for this church. Thank you for your blessing on us. Thank you for the privilege of meeting in this place. So Lord, as we worship you in our giving, I pray that you will receive this with our humble hearts and absolutely no manipulation whatsoever. This simply be a time of worship of you. In Jesus' name, amen.